This is the 12th day of September 2021, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. By the way, I wanted to thank everybody for the gathering that we had last week for the birthdays. Mine, my daughter's is 6, mine was 7, my mother's 92 was the 8th. And we really appreciate what everybody did. I thought it was a real good gathering. And we appreciate that. Also, before we get started in 1 Peter chapter 2, and then we'll finish reading over in Jeremiah 23. But before we get there, we read Psalm 119 this morning, verses 9 through 16, which is something that is very important for believers, and it's mentioned here in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. And it's mentioned there as well, the importance of reading, meditating upon the Word of God. It's going to come down to this in this nation. Good to have Mark with us this morning, by the way. I text him all the time. Come to Zion. He said, well, I can't just forsake my church. I said, yes, you can. Just come on Zion. Just come on. But he's faithful. He's faithful to be in the Lord's house when he's able, and I thank the Lord for that. He's a dear brother. It's important that we read the Word of God, that we meditate upon the Word of God, that we study the Word of God from the front to the back. And I was going to say at the opening this morning about the doctrines of grace. I run upon people all the time, especially since we've been having home nurses and home physical therapists, not see me, but granny. But those folks that come, and when you mention the doctrines of grace, they have no idea what you're talking about. And that's fine. If you're not taught that on a regular basis, if that's not brought to your attention, the doctrines of grace, then that phrase does not ring a bell about what the Scriptures are talking about when we talk about the doctrines of grace. But it's all through it. It's in the songs that we sang this morning. Now that first song that we sang says something about we all, and I noticed that a previous brother that used to come here wouldn't say the word all when it come to that part. He'd say we, not all. Doesn't bother me a bit to say all. The Scripture's very filled with the word all. And if you're a believer in the doctrines of grace, you take that word all to mean all of us who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we all know that everybody's not going to heaven. The majority of people are going to hell. Like the majority of people died during the flood. Only 8 souls were saved. And all through the Scriptures, it's very plain that the majority of people are going to hell because there's a small remnant of people who've been chosen in God in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And those people will come to Christ. That young man that comes to see Granny, physical therapist, who, by the way, is a very good, his name is Stevie, I can't remember his last name, but he goes to church in Laurel. Can't remember his pastor's name, he told me, but he understands and believes the Scriptures a lot like we do. A person must be born from above in order to be saved. A person must be born from above by the Spirit of the living God before he can even come to God. Before he realizes that he's a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Now, these things are very important to the Christian religion. And it may look like that the Christian religion is dying and that Muhammad and the Muslims are increasing. It may look that way to a lot of the world, especially if you watch the media. A bunch of them are coming over here now. I just see that as an opportunity. You can choose for yourself what that opportunity is, but I see it for an opportunity for some of those Muslims to be saved. There's a reason for them coming here. I know their reason for a lot of them is to kill Christian people. There's no doubt about that. And they're going to, or at least people that call themselves Christians. That's got nothing. Christians have died from the beginning. Abel! Killed by his own brother because he was a believer. And he offered up his sacrifice by faith. And Cain did not. So he killed his brother. And that's been going on from the foundation of the world. So don't worry about it. We're going to die. You do realize you're going to die. Unless the Lord Jesus comes back, you are going to die and they're going to plant you in the ground. Or if you prefer, cremate you. Let me spit when I say that. Christian people should be buried as all of our ancestors have been through the ages. My wife told me, she said, I'm just going to have a gravesite. I said, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. How am I going to preach the gospel to your sorry family and kid folks that'll be coming? She said, you're not going to preach my funeral. I said, oh, yes, I am. She said, I'm going to write it all out exactly how it's going to go. And Tanya's going to hire mourners to come and cry over me. I said, you won't be here and you won't know nothing about it, but there's going to be some preaching of the gospel going on. And so it should be at every believer's funeral. The gospel ought to be preached. I don't care if nothing's said about the person laying there. They've done preached their funeral. It's those that's out there that needs to hear the truth of the gospel. Otherwise, when will they hear it? Now, if they're a true believer, they'll hear it. Either at the funeral, or either God will send some soul by them to preach the gospel to them, but they will hear it if they're one of the elect of God. And by the doctrines of grace, we mean the elect of God that have been chosen before the foundation of the world, and that they will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by being born by the Spirit of God. They will see themselves as a sinner, and they will see Jesus Christ as the only Savior. And they will be changed. Just like we'll be changed when the Lord Jesus returns, those of us who are still living when the Lord returns will be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. And so are believers. They're changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye from being dead in their trespasses and sins to spiritually alive. And it begins to make a difference in your physical life day by day as you seek the Lord, study His Word, and He enlightens you to the truth of His Word. Are we perfect? Far from it. The older I get, the more I see the Apostle Paul's way, I'm the least of the saints. And if Paul was the least of the saints, what am I? I'm worse than the least of the saints. But it's going to come down to, in this nation, you watch and see, I'm not a prophet, but I'm just telling you from reading past history, just go read Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and you'll get a good idea about nations and what happens to them when God has blessed them and they turn and do like they told Jeremiah in chapter 6, we will not do what you said, Jeremiah. We will not do what the Lord has commanded. And they didn't. And he hauled them away to Babylon. And first he hauled the 10 northern tribes to Assyria and scattered them. And then Judah and Benjamin and scattered them. Somebody called me this past week. This is the first day of the week. And said, are all Jews sinners? I thought, what a question. I said, yes, ma'am. And all Gentiles are sinners too. They sure are. Some of them are saved, some of them are lost. I said, but you do know and remember that the Lord Jesus was a Jew. And the apostles were Jews. They were all Jews. I don't have anything against Jews. Don't have anything against Gentiles. We're all God's children. We have breath within us. We have life in us because of God our Father who created us. And we're to pray for one another. And we're to love one another. Don't love one another's ways, but we love one another. And we pray for one another. Pray for their salvation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, that's evil and wickedness, and all guile, that's deceit, and hypocrisies and envies, that's ill will against other people, and all evil speaking. Now, you could start at verse 18 of chapter 1 of the same book and read pretty much the same things that he's talking about here. Wherefore, laying aside all these things, because these were Christian people that he's talking to. And he's explaining to them as Christian people, we're to lay aside the old man, which the scriptures are full of. The New Testament, the Old Testament are full of scriptures that a child of God is to leave worldly ways, ungodly ways, anything contrary to the scriptures. And by doing that, we are to teach our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors and people that we meet on the streets or at the marketplaces or wherever. You can see the effects of not doing this in our America today, in these United States, so-called, today. You can see the effects of not living a godly life and preachers not preaching the truth of God's Word. You can see what's happened to this nation. And it's going to get worse. That has no effect upon the way that we ought to live. We ought to live exactly according to the Scriptures. Will we keep it perfectly? No, we will not. But should we attempt and try with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength to live according to the Word of God? Just read Psalm 119 every day. As much of it as you can, and you'll see what David thought about it. And he was a man after God's own heart. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, there are many people who have not tasted that the Lord is gracious. Many people that are going to church have not tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, they say they do, and they say they have, but he's talking to Christian people here. that as newborn babes we should desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. And what's happened to our nation today is we have not taught our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, and we have been tolerant of ungodliness all around us without opening our mouths because we might offend somebody. You see what our nation has come to? I see on that idiot box on a commercial that comedy something or another is fixing to put on, and they'll be teaching the critical race theory. Even in the commercial, they bring up the subject about this is happening, this is happening, and it's mostly by white men. That's what they say in the commercial. You know, there's a lot of black folks that are saved by the grace of God. There's a lot of white folks that are not saved by the grace of God. And a lot that are. I've never had a problem with race. Now, people think I do, and they think I'm racist, and I tell them, yeah, I am racist. I'm white and proud of it. God made me that way. Why should I not be? And if you're not white, you should be proud of whatever race God made you. You know, I had to take two sermons off of here, so I better not say no more about the other. But whatever race you are, it's because God made you that race. And we as Christian people ought to teach the Word of God to everybody that we have opportunity to, and not tolerate anything that is ungodly in our presence. If you don't speak out against ungodliness, hire people around you to know. The fellow that I met the first time I met him, in just a short little while, come up with the MF word in my presence. Did I cut loose? Oh, yes, I did. Did I cut loose on him? No. No, I did not. I mean, it affected him, no doubt, because he said something to the fellow that I know that was there. Said something to him. He said, that preacher threw down on me. He said, oh, no, he never said a word to you about it. But he did go to crying out to God to have mercy on his ears for the filthy, vulgar trash he just heard. You don't have to be offensive to other people personally. You can just cry out to God about such filth as you've just seen in front of your eyes or heard in your ears. They'll get the message. He got the message. It's very important that we do the Word of God, not just read it at home and keep it at home, but everywhere we go, if we're a born-again believer, we have to take it with us. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, coming unto Him. To whom coming? We come to Christ as into a living stone. He is our foundation. And that's what he's saying here when he talks this way. To whom coming? We come to Him as into a living stone. He's not just a dead cornerstone like we got on the corners of this building. He's a living foundation. Disallowed indeed of men, of lost men, of common men, of evil men, church people, have disallowed him indeed. Because they won't preach the truth anymore, afraid they'll offend somebody and they won't come to church. I even had folks tell me last week, they said, well, you can't offend people at church. If you do, then they won't come back and And how are you going to preach to them if they don't come? If they won't come because you're offending them, how are you going to preach? I said, if they come and you don't preach the truth, what are you telling them? You're doing them no good whatsoever. You're lying to them, telling them, oh, God just loves everybody. And somehow everybody's going to go to heaven, and don't let me offend none of you. You've wasted your time, you've wasted their time, and you're sending them to hell the quicker and the straighter. At least be a witness while you're on this earth. At least be a witness against them or for them. Either life unto life or death unto death, but be one or the other. At all costs and at all times. You say, well, preacher, look, you're not preaching anybody. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. Not only to you few folks that are in this building. I get an update every week of all the places and all the different countries and all the different peoples that this message is going to, from a little country church in Polkville, Mississippi. We're spreading the gospel. Ye as lively stones, wait, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It's important that you remember the way he words that. Because everything that we do is by Jesus Christ. You understand that? But it's important to say it that way so that people that you talk to will begin to hear that way, that everything that we do is unto God by Jesus Christ. Because it's by the Lord Jesus Christ that we were redeemed. We were bought with His precious blood. We were sold into sin by our forefathers and by our own sin. We were sold into sin, separated from God, alienated from Him, could not come unto Him, the Scripture says, until the mediator stepped in. And the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the robe of righteousness that He clothes His people with makes it possible for us to offer up those spiritual sacrifices unto our God Father. Oh, how important that is. How important it is for us to have it straight in our own heads. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It's important when you go to work, when you go to the market, you go to the doctor's offices, wherever you go, that you live what you are. That's very important. Because it's going to come down to this. Like those, what do they call them people over yonder in Afghanistan? Taliban? Like the Taliban. Now, they say we were over there 20 years and we could not defeat those people. Now, our military held them back and kept them in the mountains over there, wherever they were. And they turned Kabul or whatever, some of those cities, into industrial and started modernizing those people, keeping them from being oppressed by the Taliban, so-called, but we could not defeat them. You can believe whatever you want to. You can take it any way you want to. I just can't believe that. I can believe that our government is so rotten and crooked and filthy and trashy and no good that they wanted to stay over there 20 years and reap the opium harvest that they produced in Afghanistan and reap any other minerals and goods that they could get from them and make all kind of money. I do believe that. But you can't tell me that military, the United States, and all of their glory and all of their sophistication and all of their technology could not have made that place over there a hole in the ground if they'd wanted to. You just can't tell me that, not make me believe it. But either way, whatever you are, you be that wherever you go. Because it's going to come down to the point to where they will not put up with you being intolerant of everybody else and all of their ways. In other words, who is going to say what is right and what is wrong? That's what it's coming to. And the government wants everybody to believe that they are right and you are wrong. It's sort of like the Roman Catholics. Yeah, I said it. It's sort of like the Roman Catholics. You see, most people in America have forgotten that they used to kill people like we. They used to kill Protestants. They used to kill evangelical Christians that believed that the Word of God was for every born-again believer to read, to study, and to meditate on, to be enlightened to, and to pray to God the Father at their own will and at their own timing. But the Roman Catholics wouldn't put up with it. And if you didn't surrender to Roman Catholicism, they would either imprison you and or kill you. Now, most people in America have forgotten that because it's offensive to say that about them Roman Catholics. That poor little Roman Catholic boy. I wish he could have been there. When I asked him, "Are you a Roman Catholic?" He said, "Yeah, I was named after John Paul, the Pope." I said, "I'm so sorry." I'm so sorry. We don't understand and we don't remember what they used to do to our people and our forefathers, our ancestry. And the Roman Catholics, and I talked to one last week, about them reading the scriptures, and they are forbidden. I said, "Yeah, because the Pope and the cardinals and the bishops think that you're too stupid to understand what it says. But the real truth is, they know that you're not too stupid to understand what it says, and you realize that they're a bunch of perverts and a bunch of liars and a bunch of filthy killers and murderers of what they've always been and still are. And it's going to come down to who's right and who is wrong. I'll die believing this is right. I will die believing that this holy book is right. I will give my life for that if it comes to that. That this book is right. And I'll preach the truth of this word against Roman Catholics, against Muslims, against anybody else in this world that does not believe in the doctrines of grace, in the truth of the scriptures, that God the Father had a covenant with His Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, that He would go and save His people from their sins, that He would die for them on the cross. He didn't die for every human walking the face of the earth. If He had of the whole human race would be saved. And they're not. Read, just turn a few pages and read over there, and you'll see. They're not. They're going to hell. By their own decision? Yeah. Sure is by their own decision. They never wanted God. They never wanted the Father. They never wanted the Son. They never wanted the Holy Ghost. Ever. But that's what it's coming to. It's coming down to those, that very thing, who's right and who's wrong. And as far as I'm concerned, this is right. Everything else is wrong. There are some good books out there, though, by John Bunyan, that Pilgrim's Progress, that would do you good to read. Now, my time's about up. Let's turn over to Jeremiah. Let's turn to Jeremiah. That used to be in the Old Testament. And we'll read a little here. Pappy quoted a verse. We turn to Jeremiah 23, by the way. Pappy quoted the verse, the 16th verse of chapter 6. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." They want new ways. They want new knowledge. They want new everything. They don't want to seek the old paths. And this was the Jews during Jeremiah's time. In verse 14 it says, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Jeremiah 23. There is no peace. And this, and I'm not talking politics here. There's no politics in America worth talking about. It's they're all crooked. They're all, if they're not crooked when they get there, they are. When they get to Washington, they become crooked to the core. Not talking politics here, but if you cannot stick with the Word of God and do your job, you ought to quit your job. Let's start at verse 15. I believe it's where we left off. We'll read a little bit here and get as far as we can, then we'll close for the day, Lord willing. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord." You hear what happened. It's the preacher's fault. It's the prophets in Jeremiah's day that were preaching falsely. And Jeremiah is telling them, do not listen to these fools. They're lying to you. Read the book. That's just in modern day country boy English. But that's what he's saying. "Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain, useless, worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, The Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. They were lying to them. Like they're lying to them in these modern day churches today, where they do whatever they got to do to get as many people in the door as they can by lying to them. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. Isn't it something how that people want to blame everything that is disagreeable to them on nature, on global warming, on a hurricane comes, they blame it on global warming. Tornadoes come, they blame it on global warming. Killings happen, murders. They blame it on guns. I've got guns galore. I never killed anybody. I hope I never have to. I do not want to kill a soul. And if they'll leave me alone, stay away from me, I won't kill them. They try to hurt my family. Yes, I'm required by God to defend my family. And I'll do it to death. As long as they don't come to my door with a needle wanting to jab me in the arm, as long as they don't come try to take my guns, I won't have to kill nobody. They stay off of my property. My property. My property! Not the government's. They can say what they want to. I pay my taxes. Which really tells you that the government owns your property, because if you don't pay the taxes, they'll take it away from you. Isn't that right, brother guy?
That's right.
Is that right? If you don't pay your taxes, will they come take your land?
Yeah.
So it kind of makes you wonder, who really owns it? If they have overstepped the bounds that were delegated to them, don't do it. Go by the word of God. And God says here, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter day ye shall consider it perfectly. Please understand, these people went into captivity by the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar hauled them off to Babylon because they were wicked people. And what do you think's going to happen to America? Why do you think all these foreigners are coming in across our southern border? Not just Mexicans. Some of them been here, probably went back and said, no, they don't want nothing to do with that place. But from everywhere else south of here and from everywhere else in the world, they're going south and coming north to get here. It's easier to get here that way than it is to try to get here any other way. And so murderers and dope heads and dope dealers and drug lords and everything else in the world, Muslims, everything else that wants to destroy and kill this country is coming in across our southern border. Or at least what the government's not flying in here on airplanes and giving them a free ticket and turning them loose. And you know what happened in Australia with these same bunch of people. In other words, they believe it is their right to go with and have relations with children. The men think it's their right under jihad to have relations, we'll call it relations, you know what I mean, with young girls. at any time. They think it's their God-given right. Why do you think they're coming here by the hundreds of thousands? Because we are a wicked, wicked people. And the whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Hear me, preachers! I find out every now and then that there's preachers that listen to me on sermon audio. They don't publicize that. But I find out from time to time that there are preachers that listen to me. Hear me, preachers. You hear what he said. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? He's asking the question. Am I not a God at hand? God's everywhere at all times, but He's a God at hand. And He said, if you sorry preachers, if you no good low life preachers would have been preaching the truth of my word to them people, then they would have turned from their wicked ways, they would have turned from their evil doings, repented of their sins before I turned the whirlwind loose on them. I want you to understand, preachers, it's you that's going to stand before God for not preaching the gospel, for not preaching against sin, for not preaching the truth of God's word. It's you, preachers, that will stand accused before God, just like those prophets in Jeremiah's day stood. Oh, our God, how we thank you for this Lord's day. Lord, let us come before the throne of grace of the Almighty God. And Father, I thank you that I had an opportunity this week to talk to my little grandson who was asking about pictures that he had seen of God. I said, no, son, you haven't seen a picture of God. Because our God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins, of our shortcomings, of our sorriness. Help us to be strong as we go out into the world, out into the ways, and to stand for what's right, to stand for what's good and holy and honest and pure. And help us to be strong, O God. Help us to read and study Thy Word. Turn us from our evil ways and help us, Lord, to turn others. Or at least make them aware of the evil of the ways of the world. Please be with those that are sick and afflicted whose names have been called here today and many who have not, that are suffering from this virus and different sicknesses, and help them, O Lord. Help our dear brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.